do a reading, and that was the reading I had to do. And I got to this point, then how is it that each of us hears him in our own native language? Because we were from many different places. And then I just carried on later on. Somehow I haven't made fun of them, and because they'd say and they'd have too much wine. There's no way I was going to attempt all those names. So well done, Helena. Let's pray. Father, the event that we have just heard read to us is extremely important. That moment when the promised Holy Spirit came upon believers of Jesus. The birth of your church. Lord, I just pray now that you open our hearts and minds to truly hear what you may want us to understand today. We ask this in your name. Amen. So Pentecost Sunday, and what I particularly want to look at is what it means to be a Spirit-empowered church. But first, another reading for you, which is going to be taken from Luke 24, verses 46 to 49. And let me just set the context here. The disciples are together in Jerusalem after the death of Jesus. And they're hearing from the two who had met him on the road to Emmaus. And we're told that suddenly Jesus is standing among them. What he does then is to explain what has happened and why it has happened. He told them, it says in verse 46, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high," as we sung a little bit earlier. And that's exactly what the disciples did. They stayed in the city. And they waited. They waited for something to happen. That which was read to us earlier. The coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit and the empowering from on high, which Jesus spoke about in that reading. They waited, and then it happened. And boy, did it happen. Always amazes me. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole. How would you feel if all of a sudden this all the windows shook and wind just flew around this building? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on all of them. Wow, wouldn't that be fantastic to see right now? Oh, well I think it would be. You know, someone mentioned earlier, there needs to be that sense of expectation about God, what God might do. He might suddenly give us a new, fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There might suddenly be a wind whipping around this church, and there might suddenly be what looked like tongues of fire landing on each of us. And do you know what? My prayer is, I'm not sure it's going to happen, but my prayer is that might happen in the next 20 minutes or so. Wouldn't that be amazing? Dramatic happening in that room on the day of Pentecost. Folks, we need another Pentecost now. We need another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then we will see the Lord move in the midst, in our midst, in power in these days as he did in those days. You know, one of the striking characteristics of the early church on that day of Pentecost is that they were with one accord that we read in Acts 1:14. An accord here meaning to have one mind. Basically, these early disciples were united in their desire to seek the face of Jesus. Do you know, if we want the Lord's presence, if we want the Lord's power through the Holy Spirit, then God's people now are going to have to walk together in unity too. Now, we heard from the reading that Helena brought to us that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The unity of the early church came about because they were all right with God. And they were all filled with the Spirit of God. And amazing results happened. In fact, you only got to look at the size of the church today to see those results. When you think that it just began in that little room with these tongues of fire. They preached the same message. We read in 2:11 in Acts. They believed the same things. We can read that in 2:41. They had everything in common. You can read that in 2:44. They carried the same burdens, 2:45 and chapter 4. They loved the same things. We read that at the end of the second chapter of Acts. They were a united bunch, and that helped them become empowered by the Spirit. That helped them become a Spirit-empowered church. And God's will, Pete was talking about God's will earlier, God's will is that every single person be filled with his Spirit, be empowered by his Spirit, and be part of a Spirit-empowered church. You know, the incredible strength and the incredible growth of that early church can be traced back to the Spirit of God working through the Word of God, working in the hearts of the people of God. And Jesus speaks about this spiritual power in the very first chapter of Acts. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, folks, one of the great things about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, one of the great things about being a Spirit-empowered church is that power helps us to be his witnesses. And that is what we are all about. It helps us in the mission that Jesus has for us as a church here in Worcester and everywhere else. The Holy Spirit has the power to do amazing things in the church if we are prepared to allow him to do so. You know, where a church is filled with people who really know Jesus. I don't mean just coming to church for coming to church's sake, because that's what we've always done. I mean, when a church is filled with people who really know Jesus, the Holy Spirit can do his work and he can turn us into a Spirit-empowered church. And we ignore the Holy Spirit at our cost. He is not an optional extra. He's not something that a particular branch of Christianity has dreamt up. Now, I was going to do a couple of readings, but they've already been read today, which is fantastic. We've already learned that right at the very beginning of the Bible, the second verse of the Bible, the start of Genesis, we're told the Holy Spirit was already there, hovering above the waters. The Holy Spirit has been around since the end of time, since the start of time. He is not something new. And it was read to us from Joel chapter 2, this sense that long before Pentecost, God had promised an outpouring of his Spirit on his people. The Holy Spirit's been around a long time and was promised to us by God a long time before the events of Pentecost. He makes this thing that we call Christianity far more spiritual than what many folks outside of the church think it really is. But if someone is truly following Jesus Christ in a real way, it doesn't get any more spiritual than that. As I said, we ignore the Holy Spirit at our cost. He's not an optional extra. I'm convinced I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it just blows my mind. When I was at college, we had those pastoral groups. I'm sure Tim's in one as well. And we met every Wednesday and just to offload and say how we were feeling. And there was one guy, bless him, he's still in ministry now, thank goodness, who had been placed, like I was placed in fish ponds. This guy had been placed in a church in the middle of Birmingham. And he said he got there. And he said that he clearly had picked up, there'd been some disgruntlement a while before he had got there. And it turns out that what had happened at that church is there were some people that started to be filled with the Spirit. And they would even have the cheek to raise their hands when they were singing. My goodness. And they began to some people even began to give prophecies. And the church, many in the church, did not like the idea of this. And this is no word of a lie. My friend was told that a few months before he got there, they'd had a church meeting where a vote was taken to vote the Spirit out from that church. Like some church member who had gone astray. And I remember this conversation in this pastoral group. He said to the tutor, he said, what should I do? He said, well, there's only one thing you can do, really. He said, you're going to have to, at the next church meeting, have another vote and say, we want to vote the Holy Spirit back in the church. And they did that. And the Holy Spirit, thankfully, was voted back into the church. Whether on the next Sunday had the welcome handshake, I don't know, like we do when we get church members. We can't play games with the Holy Spirit. I know that some people regard the Holy Spirit as a little way out, to be avoided, a bit too spiritual. As though they're not quite sure the Holy Spirit really has anything to do with Jesus Christ. And yet it seems to me, the more and more there are folk in society that are searching for some kind of spiritual fulfillment, but they choose to ignore Christianity because they don't think it's spiritual. Rather, it's just about going to church and following some rules. Mind you, I think you can understand sometimes them thinking that. If they look at the life of a church or individuals who claim to be Christians, but have chosen not to allow God's Holy Spirit into their church, into their life. Now, following Jesus is, or it certainly should be, one of the most spiritual things you could possibly do. Because true believers, true followers of Jesus, have the power of the Holy Spirit living in their lives. And unless we're building the church with the Holy Spirit, we become basically a glorified social club. If we really love Jesus, then we want it to be a lot more than that. Some of you will know or read of the American pastor and author, Francis Chan. He says this: the church becomes irrelevant when it becomes purely a human creation. We are not all we were made to be when everything in our lives and churches can be explained apart from the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure none of us here or none of us joining from home on Zoom want Worcester Baptist Church to be irrelevant. So we need to be drawing power from the Holy Spirit. Not just doing what we want to do and doing it in our own strength, our own power. Else we become a group of folk, look, doing some good stuff, but not doing all we could be doing, or that we should be doing, if we were doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, being directed by God and his Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't know Francis Chan, you may well know J.I. Packer. He said this about the Holy Spirit: the Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all. Without the Holy Spirit, we will never truly amount to much, amount to all that we should do. Without the Holy Spirit doing what he and he alone can do, convicting people of what they've done wrong in their life and convicting them of their need for Jesus, there would be no church. He fills people with his power. He fills churches with his power. And then God's people and God's churches can do so much more than they would otherwise do. They become the lively believers and the lively congregations they should. Lively because they have the power of the Holy Spirit running through them. And boy, you certainly know when an electrical cable is live with power if you get too close to it. It should be clear when the church is live with power too, when you get close to it. If someone walked in now, would they say, "Whoa, the power of the Holy Spirit is in that church"? So what might becoming a Spirit-empowered church look like for Worcester Baptists right now? Especially given that right now feels like a pivotal moment for this church in a number of ways, for a number of different reasons. In 10 days' time, we have this priorities evening. I said earlier we should be praying about that now as part of that process. We need to be invoking the power of the Holy Spirit into that. Our prayers need to be asking the Holy Spirit to prompt us as to what God might be saying is the priorities for this church going forward. On the evening, I will be beginning that evening by praying the Holy Spirit comes and dwells among us and prompts us as to how we are meant to be engaging that evening. That whole process needs to be Spirit-led, and it can be if we really are a Spirit-empowered church. What about our worship gatherings on a Sunday, like we've just done on a Sunday morning? How open are we really to the Holy Spirit taking hold of what's going on and taking us into a completely different direction than what we had planned? You know, most churches, it just happens naturally, can become quite formulaic in the way that they worship. What would happen if we said, "Right, Holy Spirit, do what you will this morning"? That can happen if we are a Spirit-empowered church. What about our mission? The things that we do, the clubs we run, the stuff where we try and connect with our community. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to focus on what God wants with that and not our own wants. Let the Holy Spirit break down any problems that we might have. And that can happen if we are a Spirit-empowered church. What about us as a church family, a group of gathered believers in Jesus? You know what? With the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us, it will help us to treat each other well as we allow the Spirit to guide us and prompt us, look out for each other. And that can happen if we're a Spirit-empowered church. In all these things and more, having the Holy Spirit empower us can help us make a huge difference in all that we do, in all that we are. So I guess the question for us this morning, and you don't have to answer this, is, are we a Spirit-empowered church now? Are we a church and a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit? If we had a spirit gauge like this one coming up on the screen, where would the dial sit? On the full marker? Or would we be over to the left-hand side like a petrol gauge, almost empty of power from the Holy Spirit? Actually, I guess the biggest question, really, is this. Do you want to be a Spirit-empowered church? Or at the next church meeting, should we have a vote to vote him out? I hope the answer is yes, we do want to be a Spirit-empowered church. Because if we truly want to make a difference in this community, in this city, in this world, then we ain't going to do it in our own strength. We're not going to do it in our own power. We need the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. But if we're going to make a difference anywhere, then we need to become a Spirit-empowered church. If we're going to be truly empowered for mission, which is what we are or should be about as a church, then we need to become a Spirit-empowered church. And that will make a massive difference to what we can achieve. But to truly become that Spirit-empowered church, we need people who really know Jesus, who follow him closely, who believe in his church, and who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the way that the disciples were at Pentecost. And more than that, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what the Bible says we need to happen to us. To be clothed with power from on high, as Jesus put it. Do you want that? That's what's going to make a difference. That's going to make a difference into how we worship, how we live together, how we tell others this message of Jesus and what it can mean not only for their lives now, but for their eternal futures. So friends, occasionally I speak on the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, I'd want to speak about the Holy Spirit every week, because this is so important. We want to be those lively people, those lively congregations that J.I. Packer talks about. And if we do, and we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives yet again, and to continually do it day in and day out. And I'm going to do that now in just a moment as I pray for us all. Let's do that now. Father, I pray that we truly become expectant people. Expectant in what you may want to do through your Holy Spirit. But Lord, to be sure that that may happen, we invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in us afresh, fill us up, take our gauge to full, with the power of the Holy Spirit, as individuals, but as a body of people. Here's your church, your Worcester Baptist Church. May we truly know the power of your Holy Spirit running through our bodies, running through our lives, running through all that we are. And we can then make a difference in this world around us, because boy, does a difference need to be made. So Holy Spirit, we pray, come upon your people now. All of us here in this room, those gathering from home. Fill us afresh, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to share communion together. Before that, we're going to sing again, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." And during that, if I can invite those who have asked to help with serving communion to come forward to the front row. Thank you. Let's stand to sing.